Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Catholic Answers Live, and Thursday means open forum, and we've got 2 hours of it for you today. This hour, Jimmy Akin. Next hour, Tim Staples will be in. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Open forum means anybody can call. You don't have to be Catholic. You don't have to not be Catholic. You can like Catholics. You can not like Catholics. Anybody is welcome to call. We're happy to take your call. And you can call on any aspect of I like to do it interview style with you, Jimmy. Can you call on church history?
Yep.
Within limits. Okay. Can you call on the Old Testament?
Yeah.
New Testament?
Yep.
St. Thomas Aquinas?
Yeah.
Morals?
Yeah.
I can't.
Comic books, dishwashing, private detection, bunches of other things.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you done some of those things?
I've done all those things.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've done dishwashing too. I just did it last night.
Hey.
Probably should have done some before I came to work this morning, but I'll have to talk about my wife about that later. 888-318-7884 is that number, and open forum lines fill up fast. So you're going to want to dial if you've got a question for Jimmy Akin. Jimmy Akin is also the author, in addition to being the senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, is also the author of that book over there, A Daily Defense, that by saying it's over there, you realize I forgot.
That's okay.
To take it off the shelf, bring it over, and ask you. I usually open by asking Jimmy a question from his book, A Daily Defense, and I don't have the book in front of me.
Oh, well.
So maybe we'll do it later, or maybe we'll just get the calls pretty soon. Trent Horn is in the building this week.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. And then
I think he's driving home to Arizona today.
Okay. Because I just noticed Jesse Romero and his wife, Anita, in the building today. And I'm thinking how popular we are. And then I looked and it's 115 degrees in Phoenix. That's why all these Arizona people are over in San Diego. We're seeing all the – I'm expecting more Catholics from Arizona in the next few days to be over. And you're always welcome to come by. Give a call. Maybe we can arrange a tour for you. 888-318-7884 is the phone number for the program, however. Maybe go to calls, Jimmy?
Sure.
Let's go to Forrest in Annapolis, Maryland, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Forrest, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hey, good afternoon, Jimmy and Cy. How you guys doing?
Very well.
Good, good. So, Jimmy, I had a quick question for you.
Okay.
I'm a cradle Catholic, and my wife is Protestant. Mm-hmm. And we just had our, we have a three-month-old, and she was baptized in the Catholic Church back in May, last month.
Mm-hmm.
However, my wife wants to baptize her again in her Protestant church, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I guess a little uneasy. I don't know. I want to support her, but I kind of just wish the Catholic, our Catholic Christian baptism should be enough. So I just want to see what your thoughts about that was.
What kind of Protestant church does your wife go to?
She attends a Presbyterian church.
Okay. So this is something that should not happen. Christians have always recognized that you get baptized once in your life, and the Holy Spirit works in that sacrament and makes a permanent mark on your soul that marks you as one of the Christian faithful. And it is consequently viewed as an insult to the work of the Holy Spirit to baptize somebody again, because you're saying that he didn't actually do anything when you were baptized. And so it denies the work the Holy Spirit has done. Consequently, unless there's doubt about whether someone was validly baptized, one never rebaptizes. And even if there is doubt regarding the validity of someone's previous baptism, which in this case there's not, you only do what's known as a conditional baptism, which uses a formula like, if you are not baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that way you respect the fact that the Holy Spirit may have already performed his work in baptism. In this case, we don't have any doubt about the validity of the child's baptism, and so a second baptism would be inappropriate. Having said that, if your wife wanted to have a prayer service or something, that would be possible. Asking people in her church to pray for the infant, and the infant could be there, but it shouldn't be a second baptism. One thing that should help, given that she goes to a Presbyterian church, the Presbyterian church grew out of the Calvinist theological movement, and Calvinists historically have recognized the validity of Catholic baptisms. In fact, John Calvin himself was baptized as a child as a Catholic and was never rebaptized. And so the practice of recognizing the validity of Catholic baptisms in Presbyterian and other Calvinist circles goes all the way back to John Calvin himself. And that's a piece of historical information that should help you out in this situation. Having said that, congratulations both on your new child and on the baptism, and hope that things go well in discussing this with your wife, and that you can both play a positive role in raising your child in the Christian faith, and since your daughter's been baptized as a Catholic, in the Catholic faith specifically.
I appreciate that, Jimmy. Great answer. I just got to communicate all to her, and, real quick, I know you got to go, but mm-hmm. She's not like the, she doesn't have like a lot of theological hang-ups. I mean, uh-huh. She probably does, but she doesn't realize it. I think it's just she doesn't want her church to be left out. She doesn't want her faith, her faith to be left out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. Given the fact that your child is baptized Catholic, she needs to be raised as a Catholic. She can also, when it's appropriate, learn about her mother's faith and appreciate things about her mother's faith. That's something that is common in mixed marriages. But she needs to have a sense of her own religious identity as a Catholic, and finding ways to include your wife's faith community in the family life is something that's reasonable. I mean, you can go to parties at her church. If you need to, you can attend services at her church as long as you're also fulfilling your Sunday obligation. If they wanted to have a baby shower with a prayer service or something like that, that would be possible. It just shouldn't be such a baby shower that it involves actual sprinkling with water.
Understood, Jimmy. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that call, Forrest. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Open Forum with Jimmy Akin on Catholic Answers Live.
Call and ask Jimmy your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Servo. In Matthew 6:7, Jesus tells his disciples that when they pray, they are not to babble like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, he says. Your heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask him. Well, what about the rosary and the litanies? Don't these qualify as the babbling of many words? Not at all. They aren't babbling. To babble is to make incoherent noises. The prayers we repeat with the rosary are quite coherent. This is true of litanies as well. But more than that, they are ways of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. The Lord never tires of hearing all the many ways we have of expressing this. We don't pray to inform God of anything. We pray to express what matters most to us, that He matters most, that we need Him, that we are sorry for our offenses against Him, and that we are grateful. Amen. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Open forum today. Any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history, the morals of the Catholic Church, you've got a question on philosophy, you've got a question on religion in general, Jimmy Akin's usually pretty amenable to taking any of those questions. We go now to, let me give out the number again, 888-318-7884. We go now to Steve in Presque Isle, Maine, listening to EWTN on WEGP Radio. Steve from Presque Isle, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hi, Jimmy. Great show as usual. I just have a short question. Will there be free will in heaven?
Yes. Like I just want to follow because Steve's clearly not
a short answer.
He's not. That's the shortest answer we've ever had on Catholic Answers. Well, I guess no would be a shorter one, but
in terms of letters, not syllables.
But so, like, if I am, let's just say I'm in heaven. This is just theoretical, Jimmy. Yeah. Don't think I'm being presumptuous. But let's say I'm in heaven and there's a buffet.
Okay.
And then there are hot dogs and hamburgers.
Okay.
And I want hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just free to choose that. I don't have to say, you know, Lord's will be done and I'll just have whatever God wants me to have.
Right. You'll have the faculty of will that God gave you.
Oh.
I mean, He gave us intellect and will so we could use them. And they're constituent parts of our being, and so they'll continue to be constituent parts of our being in the future. What we'll be freed of is the defects that we suffer from now, like concupiscence, nescience, or I should say ignorance, more properly speaking, not having information that we need. And also our wills at that point will be fixed on good. So we'll be able to choose among different goods. We just won't be choosing evil.
Now, Steve, does that get to what you were looking for?
That's the answer. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Steve from Presque Isle, call again. It was nice talking with you. We go now to Ken in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Ken, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Hey, guys. Hey, I heard a Protestant claim that in 1 John 5:13, that's proof that a Christian knows for sure that they're saved. And I know the church has some sort of teaching that we have some sort of a reasonable knowledge, maybe, but we can't be absolutely 100% certain of salvation. I don't know if that's correct for sure, 100%, but I don't know. How should we approach that?
Okay, so let's take a look at 1 John 5:13 to start out with. John has been writing to his audience and talking about eternal life, and he says in 1 John 5:13, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so that's the purpose for which he's writing, or at least one of the purposes for which he's writing, and he has various tests by which you can know, do you have eternal life? So there is a sense in which we can know we have eternal life. We know if we meet these tests, you know, believing in Jesus, avoiding mortal sin, things like that, then we can know we have eternal life. But he doesn't say for sure. That's being added by your Protestant friend. There are different kinds of knowledge claims. We have ordinary knowledge claims where someone could say to me, do you know Cy Kellett? And I'd say, sure, I know Cy Kellett. Well, it could be that there is no Cy Kellett, that Cy Kellett has always been an imposter. He's a fictitious identity, what in covert ops and intelligence work they call a legend. So, you know, Cy Kellett could be a fictional legend that was invented for some covert agent. And the person I've always known as Cy Kellett has, you know, really been just Bob Smith under an alias doing covert work at Catholic Answers for some reason. Not really covertly either since it's on the air, but you get the point. In any event, there's a difference between ordinary knowledge claims and then saying absolute, certain, 100% infallible knowledge claims. And John does not tell us that he's giving us the latter kind of test. He just says that you may know you have eternal life. And barring any further stipulations like really, really for sure, double secret, extra secure, 100% infallible, you know, without qualifiers like that, then we would understand this to be an ordinary knowledge claim, to be knowledge in the ordinary sense. And so, yeah, sure, we can have knowledge in the ordinary sense of our salvation, but what we can't have, shy of divine revelation, is absolute certitude. We always have to admit the possibility of self-deception, which, frankly, if you talk to many people in the Protestant community, they'll admit, you know, I don't have infallible certitude whereby I could not be wrong. It's possible I could be self-deceived. And many thoughtful people in the Protestant community will admit that. Also, because we still have free will in this life that allows us to choose evil, we can forfeit the eternal life that we may now know that we have. If we decide, okay, I'm not going to keep his commandments, which is one of the things that John says you need to do, I'm not going to keep his commandments. I'm just going to go live a life of mortal sin. Well, then you can know that you forfeited eternal life. So it's not as simple as what your friend was making it sound.
Okay, Ken?
Okay, that was great. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist at Catholic Answers, is our guest. I am your host, Bob Smith, and now we go to Bao in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Bao, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Okay. Here's my question. I was a cradle Catholic that lost faith in the Catholic Church since it was so legalistic to me. I became atheist, came back to the faith, and now I find myself in a legalistic again. I find myself struggling and being very scrupulous or being very concerned of about doing wrong things.
Okay.
I am unsure what to do about this. It seems me I'm more focused on the mortal sin avoid doing them instead of becoming a better person.
Okay. Bao, thanks so much. Hang on a quick second. I just want to summarize, Jimmy, because for some people that might have been hard to hear. Bao was an atheist, became a Catholic, but he worries about whether he's committing mortal sin, and that worry is getting in the way of him thinking about other things.
He's suffering from scrupulosity.
Yeah.
Also, he mentioned that he had been Catholic and then lost his faith, and so now he's back.
Okay.
So first of all, Bao, welcome back. That's great. Scrupulosity is not something that is uncommon. People during the course of their faith life may go through scrupulous periods, especially when they're new in their faith life or if they've just come back to it. Some people have conditions like obsessive compulsive disorder that may make scrupulosity a kind of chronic struggle. But the good news is God loves you. And so there are certain verses of Scripture that may help you just relax and realize God's love for you. Obviously, a very famous one is John 3:16, where Jesus himself tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. So God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to provide atonement for your sins so that you could be with him. Also, one of my favorite verses in Peter's epistles is one where Peter says, cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. And so recognize that that God loves you and he is merciful to you and he's provided means for mercy to you. And he doesn't want you worrying about mortal sin every minute. He doesn't want you being terrified of it. If you look at saints, you know, people who led lives of great holiness like St. Peter, St. Paul, they had flaws too, you know, and sometimes they did sin, but they didn't have to live in constant terror of it. And if they didn't, neither do you. So another resource that I'd recommend that could be of help is an organization called Scrupulous Anonymous. You can Google that. It's a Catholic organization. It's made up of Catholics, and it typically has a Catholic chaplain as a priest, and they answer questions from people who have scrupulosity. And so while you're experiencing this time, which in all likelihood is just a temporary one as you kind of grow in your faith and gain some footing and gain some perspective on what's mortal and what's not, Scrupulous Anonymous could be a big help to you. So I'd suggest checking them out. Also, for more personalized help, you might look for a spiritual director in your own area that you could occasionally spend time with, someone who's wise and knows the Catholic faith well and who could give you some perspective, you know, as kind of a point of contrast, saying, well, here's what I'm worried about right now. How does that sound to you? And he can help you work through those issues and determine whether or not they're actually mortal or whether they're venial or whether you don't need to worry about them at all. Maybe they're just temptations and not even sins at all.
Thank you so much, Bao. It's good to hear from you again, and please call anytime. 888-318-7884 is our number. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. We go now to Paul in Prospect, Illinois, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, Paul. What's your question for Jimmy Akin?
Well, my question is the severity of the Holy Spirit. I heard from a person at a retreat, the preacher, he's like, there's more of a severity for the Holy Spirit if you insult the Holy Spirit, then the other persons in one guy. And I just want to know the relationship, because the Trinity is a mystery. Just want to know why is that? Because they're all one. There's three persons in one God.
Right, and so consequently, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all share the same divine nature, and so they're all equally loving and equally merciful, and that suggests that the way this preacher characterized it is something you want to take a look at. It's understandable that, you know, that sounds kind of odd. The basis for the claim he made is the passages in the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where it talks about the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you could read that because Jesus says any sin committed against anyone who blasphemes the Father or the Son will be forgiven, but not the Holy Spirit. That could make it sound like the Holy Spirit's more severe. But since we know he shares the divine nature and is therefore equally loving and equally merciful, it invites us to take another look at the passage. The standard interpretation of this passage, which you'll find in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, for example, is that there's no limit to God's mercy. But if you refuse to repent, which is cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that leads us to repentance, if you refuse to accept the means of forgiveness, then it's not that God's unwilling to forgive you. It's that you're deliberately refusing to accept the forgiveness that's being offered. And so that's the standard understanding of what's going on in that passage. It's not that the Holy Spirit is more severe. It's that the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to salvation, who invites us to repent, and you're refusing that offer to repent. Also, something that may help you is in Mark's gospel in particular, when he talks about this, he says that Jesus is speaking to the disciples in parables, and he tells has a number of different things that sayings, and this is one of them after he says that Jesus is talking to the disciples in parables. And so that could invite us to view the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit as a parable about accepting the means of forgiveness.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Paul, thank you so much for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number. Catholic Answers Live, open forum today because it's Thursday. Jimmy Akin is here with us. Jimmy, I said Tim will be here second hour, but I forgot. Mm-hmm. If you got a call, you better call now because second hour, we're doing an all-internet show. So it's all questions that come to us via Facebook Live. Or no, I shouldn't say come to us. Came to us before. So there won't be a chance to call the second hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. Jimmy Akin is our guest. Open Forum is our topic. And as you probably know, Open Forum means any question that you have on the life, faith, history, morals, practices, habits, teachings of the Catholic Church, more than welcome. And you don't have to be Catholic to call. If you're non-Catholic and you have questions about what we believe as Catholics or what we do as Catholics, those are more than welcome. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church, from doctrinal issues to family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers, live TV, Sunday, midnight Eastern on EWTN Television.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of 5 exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a 2-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and by sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers, including Chris Check, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and my talk, Behold Your Mother. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
Did you know you can book any of our great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
When you need answers about the Catholic faith, you need to have someone to turn to whom you can trust. At Catholic Answers, we take that seriously. And at Catholic.com, you'll find the answers to thousands of your questions on all things Catholic, with an extensive library of audios, videos, tracks, articles, and more that gets larger every day. We've given the site a whole new look with better navigation than ever before and lots of great new features to make your Catholic.com experience one that will have you coming back again and again. That's Catholic.com with answers from the people you can trust at Catholic Answers. Visit us today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all, and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Just want to keep repeating this. Early bird pricing ends July 2nd for the Catholic Answers Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up.
You know, I heard that I heard tell that our room block for the special rate, which is, I hear, is really good. It's even better this year than last.
Yeah.
Is over half full now. So if you're going to be traveling to the conference, you want to book early.
Yeah. It's quite a bit over half, actually.
Okay.
I don't know the exact number, but I know it's quite a bit over half. So if you want to get that early rate, and you should get the early rate, why not? And then get a room. If you're coming from out of town, you're going to want to go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to register. 3 days of talks by guests, including Mark Brumley, Devin Rose, Steve Weidenkopf, all your favorite Catholic apologists, Jimmy, Tim, Trent, and Carlo. Bob Smith will be doing the live radio broadcast.
Yeah. The legendary Bob Smith.
He is something. You don't want to miss Bob Smith. Okay, I don't want to – that's no false advertising. There's no Bob Smith. There's probably a Bob Smith somewhere.
We've got to get this straight. Is it that there's no Bob Smith or there's no Cy Kellett? Which is it?
No, Cy Kellett is not Bob Smith. You made that up, Jimmy Aiken. I am not an imposter.
I did, or the CIA did. I mean, somebody made it up.
Yeah. So we'd love to have you at the conference. It's September 28th through 30th right here in San Diego, and it will be beautiful. I can't guarantee that, but it's pretty close to guarantee that it's going to be beautiful because it's September in San Diego. Go to Catholic Answers Conference right now to register, CatholicAnswersConference.com, and we'd love to see you there. Jimmy, more calls?
Oh, yes, please.
All right. So we go to – oh, I'm so proud of myself that I know how to pronounce this.
We had a little pre-flight coaching.
Oh, come on now. Why do you tell people that? I was trying to brag that I know how to pronounce this.
Well, you do now, so you can brag about it now.
Come on. Just let me pretend that I know stuff. Come on, Nathan in Humble, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Nathan, did I pronounce it correctly? Humble, Texas?
Ooh.
No? I made Nathan so mad that, sorry, Nathan, I pushed the wrong button. But I did pronounce it right? Humble, Texas?
Actually, I'm from Tomball, Texas. Humble's like across the way. Well, not about 45 minutes away.
But it is pronounced Humble, right? It's not Humble.
Yes, that city is pronounced. Yes, right on, man. You nailed it.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah, because Nick, the engineer here, is from Texas.
And so he's not the only one.
He made sure that wait, you're from Texas?
I'm from Texas,
Arkansas?
Wait.
I was born in Texas, raised in Arkansas, and I have most of my family is in Texas, so I go back and forth a lot.
Oh, okay.
I spend summers in Texas and things.
Nathan, I'm sorry that we're taking up your time, but we're going to let you have plenty of time. We just had to settle this Texas thing.
Yeah.
And do you know who lives in Texas?
A lot of people.
Come on, Jimmy.
Which one are you thinking of?
All of my
exes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nathan, go ahead. What's your question?
But you don't hang your hat in Tennessee.
No, I do. Well, I do. I just don't live there, but my hat's there.
Okay.
Okay, enough of the silliness, Nathan. Come on, you're dragging this out, Nathan. What's your question?
That's great. We actually have an interesting thing going on down here in Texas right now, in the Houston area. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's some another instance of some form of so-called artwork that is of a blasphemous nature involving a crucifix. Mm. And a number of the churches are trying to, you know, drum up a protest and, you know, a rosary rally and reparation and all that. And that's good and all. But I've been thinking a lot about it. And I wonder if, you know, if maybe the other side is looking to cause that, if you understand what I'm saying, wanting to incite some sort of action, whether I'm just thinking cost versus benefit. Like, what is your thought on that? I mean, because it's our Lord. He was crucified. He was put to shame. I mean, this is kind of nothing new.
Right. So, it's a judgment call. There's no definitive right or wrong answer here. It's going to be based on the situation. And I mean, there is objectively a best way to go in this situation, but there's not a mathematical formula that will let you determine the best way to go. And so people can have differences of opinion on this. I would say, now let's suppose this blasphemous piece of artwork is being supported with city funds. Well, I would say in that case, it could very well be reasonable to protest and target the city officials with the protest and say, we want this gone, we want funding for this cut, and you're our city officials, and so you need to do this. And if you don't, we'll vote you out of office. So, you know, in that kind of situation, I can see a positive role for a protest. On the other hand, if it's something somebody's doing on private property without government funds, then in that case, while protesting can be reasonable, it also runs the risk of calling more attention to something than it would otherwise get. And it runs the risk of encouraging future similar behavior, because what people who do this so-called art are looking for is a shock and outrage and attention response. They're basically artistic trolls. And the first rule of dealing with trolls on the internet is don't feed them. Because if you feed them, you give them what they want, and it only makes it worse. They'll do more of the same in the future. And so when you're dealing with a troll in the art world, oftentimes the best thing you can do – I mean, you may want to say a rosary in reparation privately or with your church group, but it can often be don't publicly protest them. Starve them of the attention they are desperate for, and they'll give up and quit doing this.
Nathan?
Oh, yes, sir. That's perfect. That's great. Things I didn't consider. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day in Tomball, Texas, which is not too far from Humble, Texas. And man, can I pronounce the name of Texas towns. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers on Catholic Answers Open Forum right after this.
We'll be right back with more great answers from Jimmy today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul exhorts Christians to have no dissensions among themselves and to be united in the same mind. And yet, since Martin Luther's rebellion exactly 500 years ago, the apostles' injunction seems to have gone unheeded. What is the faithful Catholic who desires Christian unity to do? Join us at the Catholic Answers National Conference this September 28th to 30th, right here in San Diego. The theme of the conference is the reunion of all Christians. If you want to learn how to evangelize our separated brethren with charity, you don't want to miss this conference, featuring all your favorite Catholic Answers speakers and some superb guests, too. Registration is priced lower than last year, and we have an even lovelier hotel with a better room rate. And September is the very best month to visit San Diego. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com. Early bird registration savings expire July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com and register today.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day, in conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a great resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What is witchcraft? Is it dangerous? What should I do if my child or loved one has become involved in witchcraft or other occult activity? Is it okay for Christians to use things like Ouija boards, tarot cards, and mediums for fun? In 20 Answers, Witchcraft and the Occult, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you to understand the truth about witchcraft and occult practices so that you can protect yourself from the lies they promote. 20 Answers, Witchcraft and the Occult is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Catholic Answers Press is proud to announce the Catholic Answers Classic Edition of G.K. Chesterton's Orthodoxy. Perhaps more than any other book that came from his prolific pen, Orthodoxy exemplifies G.K. Chesterton's style, humor, and singular ability to present ancient truths from a new perspective. Chesterton uses that unique style to offer Christianity as a rollicking adventure filled with beauty, wonder, and peril. Never overbearing or long-winded, Chesterton uses common sense, everyday human experience, and simple but unassailable folk logic to build a case for a Christian view of the universe. Whether you're a diehard fan of Chesterton's or waiting to be introduced to him, there's no finer edition of orthodoxy to own. Order your copy today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
For Catholics, history matters. Ours is not a religion based on mythical events. Ours is a religion based on recorded history, in which God has revealed to humanity something about himself and his church through the person of Jesus Christ. In his new book, Handed Down, The Catholic Faith of the Early Christians, author James L. Papandrea offers a fascinating window into the life of the early church and demonstrates that the early Christians were decisively Catholic in how they acted and what they believed. Handed Down is perfect for history-conscious Protestants looking for a friendly defense of Catholic belief, as well as for Catholics who want to deepen their connection with our forefathers in the faith. Order your copy of Handed Down today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Yes, this is Catholic Answers Live, and it's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Jimmy Akin, our guest, the author of many things, but most recently his large tome is A Daily Defense. When are you doing any work on the Daily Defense Part 2?
Some remote preparatory work. I have other projects before that, but I suspect there will be a sequel to A Daily Defense and other books of the same kind, I'm hoping. Yeah. I want to do a 365-day book on the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So I learn a new biblical thing every day.
You didn't take my advice at all about writing the second book being a daily offense, where you write a little paragraph on how to give offense to someone each day. Mm-hmm. To do some. It doesn't
There's
appeal.
That John Cleese movie, How to Irritate People.
Yeah, like that. But it would be a daily offense to go with a daily defense.
Not my style.
No, it's really – you're right. It's not your style. Fred in West Covina, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Jimmy Akin.
Yes, I was calling. I'm wondering if it's okay to take my family to SSPX Mass on Sunday. Has it been approved? Is there danger to taking my family? Is it okay?
Okay.
We're really interested in going because of the traditional Mass. But I want to make sure that it's okay for us to attend.
Well, there's not a crime involved in attending an SSPX Mass, so it's permissible to go. You do want to exercise prudence in terms of going to such Masses because there are attitudes that can – I mean, the SSPX is operating without church approval right now, and that means that the Masses themselves are not licit. They're not lawful. They're not being done in conformity with the church's law. And because they don't have the local bishop's permission to be doing them. And so you have some serious attitudes there that right now at least that are kind of anti-ecclesial, you know, that are in opposition to certain things in the church. And if you feed on a regular diet of those attitudes, it can cause spiritual problems. Having said that, the Masses are valid. And even though they're being celebrated without the bishop's permission, they would seem to fit the definition that's required for fulfilling one Sunday obligation. And they're not in schism these days, and hopefully they'll be in full union in the near future, and this won't even arise as an issue. But it's permissible to go to them, and one wants to exercise prudence in doing that to make sure that your own attachment to the church is not damaged in some way. You also might, if you're interested in the extraordinary form of the Mass, see if there's in your own diocese a church where it's celebrated regularly with the bishop's permission.
Okay. From what they told me, that they do have the approval from the Pope.
Well, they have the approval from the Pope regarding certain things, like the ability to hear confessions right now. They have that. That's something the Pope has extended them. But they still are not operating under the auspices of the diocesan bishop, and they are doing things in an illicit or not legal way in terms of canon law.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Fred.
Okay,
thanks very much, Fred. We appreciate the call. We go now to Noel in California.
Or Noel.
Or Noel. I was gonna...
It's always hard to know.
It is. No,
who... Two syllables, Noel. Okay. Awesome.
Is it's it... actually Noel.
Noel.
Welcome to the show, Noel.
I can't tell you how good that makes me
feel.
Oh,
hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks, Noel. Your question for Jimmy.
Okay, my question is this. I talked to my friend that she's from the Assemblies of God, and I told them that actually she told me that the reason why Jesus didn't leave his mom to his brother was because his brother was not converted into the faith. And then she kind of told me that the brother was not converted into the faith until after Jesus' resurrection. And she actually read a scripture or something like that, say something about brother or something like that. Uh-huh. I would like to know if you can explain me more about it.
Okay. So there are a number of individuals in scripture that are referred to as Jesus's brethren or brothers. And there's a question about how they're related to Jesus. Now, obviously, they aren't full siblings, because they couldn't be full siblings, because that would require them to have the same two parents, the same two earthly parents that Jesus did. And Jesus didn't have two earthly parents. Joseph was not his biological father. He only had a biological mother, and God was his father. So they cannot be full brothers of Jesus. Could they be half brothers, so that maybe they had Mary as their biological mother and Joseph as their father, who was not Jesus' father? This is the view that's common in Protestant circles, like in the Assemblies of God Church. However, it's not supported by a variety of different texts, both in the New Testament and in early Christian writings. Unfortunately, we're near the end of the show, so I can't really review all of those right now. But if you go to Catholic.com and type in Brothers of Jesus or Brethren of Jesus at Catholic.com, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff on exactly that question. In terms of who they were, there are a couple of theories that have been prominent since the early church. The earliest theory, which comes from the second century, in fact, the first half of the second century, is that they were stepbrothers, that Joseph was an elderly widower, and he already had a family at the time he married Mary, so he wasn't looking to raise a new family. He was a suitable person to be the guardian of a consecrated virgin like Mary. And this is, as I said, something that we find people in the first half of the second century talking about. So within about 60 years of Mary's earthly life. The other theory, which was popularized by Saint Jerome in the 400s, 300s, 400s, is that they are cousins of Jesus. And in Aramaic, there is no word for cousin per se. And if you didn't want to use a workaround like the son of my uncle or the daughter of my aunt, the way you simply referred to people is that they're my brothers, just meaning my kinsmen. And so that's the other theory about who they were. We do know from John's gospel that Jesus's brothers were not believers in him during his earthly life, but we know that they were very, very shortly thereafter, because Jesus appeared to his brother James during the 40 days between Easter and the Ascension, and he became a believer no later than that, and we see him as a believer in the first chapter of Acts, along with the other brethren of the Lord. And so the idea that Jesus would have entrusted Mary to John rather than his on your friend's theory, his half-brother James, just because he wasn't yet a believer, doesn't really make any sense. He was family, and if he was her own biological child, then he can certainly fulfill his responsibilities as a child by taking care of his very own biological mother, regardless of whether he's a believer or not. So that's really not true to the culture of the time.
So it was just his it was just his brother. It was not Mary's son. Then it was just like stepson. Is that kind of where it was?
That's one of the possibilities. James could have been a stepson via Joseph. He could have been adopted, although nobody in the early church seems to have thought of that idea. Or he could have been some kind of cousin who wasn't even raised by Mary, but who just was part of the broader family.
Thanks, Noel. Thank you very much for that call. A short time left, so I'm going to go quickly to Steve in Laguna Beach, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Steve, your question.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. You're on the air, and we're at the end of the show. What's your question?
Yes. If a person has experienced mortal sin, could they still be using the effects thereof as a redemptive blessing, for lack of a better analogy, for a friend or a relative, or to get somebody out of purgatory, or to help somebody in this state of life if they are ill or lack?
Let me make sure I understand the question. A given person, let's call him Jim, has committed a mortal sin, and Jim then repents, but even though God's forgiven him for the mortal sin, Jim is dealing with some of the consequences of that sin, either natural consequences, like let's say he went drunk driving and broke his leg in a car crash and now he's got a broken leg that he's got to deal with, or that could be some temporal punishment that God's giving him to help him learn his lesson. Could he say to God, if I please you by the way I handle this, whether it's temporal punishment or mere temporal consequences of the mortal sin, could he say, Lord, if I please you with this, please help so-and-so, whether it's a person in purgatory or a person who's sick or a person who needs help or a person who needs to come to the gospel? Could you please bless this other person if I please you with the way I handle this? The answer is absolutely yes. You can always ask God to bless somebody if you're pleasing him. And pleasing him can include being pleasing to him in the way you clean up or deal with the consequences of your own mistakes. So you can always ask. Whether God will do it or not is another matter. We don't have a promise about that. But you can certainly ask, and God can certainly respond positively to that request if he chooses.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Steve, for the call. I'm moving on just because we're very, very short of time. Jimmy Akin, thanks for being with us this hour.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Next hour, Tim Staples. We won't be taking calls, but there are lots of great questions. I know that because I've already seen the questions. They're questions we took from
Facebook. What's the real-life mystery surrounding the 9th Legion of the Roman Army? They were slaughtered by eaters of light from another dimension.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
Not extraterrestrials from this dimension.
No, interdimensionals.
All right, Jimmy, thank you. This is Catholic Answers. You're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Okay, that feels like a...
They vanished in the 2nd century. Some of the 9th Legion could have been Christian.
Okay, that's not the part...
Christian community at Rome.
That's not the part that seemed odd to me.
Okay.
It was the interdimensional beings. But okay. No, it's fine. If you want to stick with that, see you next time. Oh, tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live, we've got Bishop Connolly talking about love. And we've got Carla Broussard in here to talk about truth and tolerance. So a lot of good stuff we're talking about tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live. Join us then. We'll see you, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.